just after 10 a.m. It's time for Ed. Current events, politics, pop culture from Connecticut and beyond. It's Ed Says on the Talk of Connecticut.
Good morning, hello, and welcome. I am Ed, and this is Ed Says. The number is 888-574-2723. Lest any of you be worried that there was some sort of disciplinary action yesterday as I closed my show on Tuesday saying I will see you tomorrow. And then I forgot to mention that, oops, I took Wednesday off. I had planned on it as the family was going to be out of town, but it turns out the wife did not go out of town, so I spent the day with my family. Sans the son, because we pay for daycare, and he went, but I saw him most of the day. Also enjoyable. I was just kind of looking forward to some quiet dad time. Got a lot done. It was got to sit down and have a beautiful lunch with my wife and daughter, and it was planned. I apologize if I panicked anyone out there. I'm sure a great many of you might have rejoiced. Oh, a break from it. I apologize to Rob for having to put together a best of on short notice. Again, I forget things. 888-574-2723. On today's show, we're going to talk about fighting the wrong people, the thin line of protection, and a mystery of a monster as more news comes out of Vegas with the sheriff saying the killer led a secret life. But then I hear these news updates about marches and talks and this and that and why certain people aren't agreeing with people in their party. And it was a question posed by Dan previous to me. Why aren't Democrats in five red states? Because they're just like everybody else. They in politics, they are trying to get reelected. And that is no more right for a Democrat than it is for a Republican. And it is part of the problem. And marches and talks and pandering isn't going to do anything. And I ask you out there, what can be done? We know not what evil lies in man's hearts. So what can we do? Can we minimize their opportunity to do harm? Ask yourself, is banning a bump stock a way to do it, making it more difficult to procure, forcing someone to go out of their way to find one, perhaps alerting people. If you're asking around as to where you can get something that is illegal, chances are someone might go, oh, this seems fishy, and alert people. But if you can just get one willy-nilly, it's not going to raise any eyebrows. So I ask you, what do we do? Those of you, and it seems that in gun discussions before, we've had people call in, but they've actually been silent recently. And I ask those of you who are NRA members, those who are gun owners, those who hunt, those who own guns for protection, shoot recreationally, what do you think? Because the complaint coming from that side of the discussion is, oh, the liberals just want to take all our guns. Well, consider me a left-of-center individual who doesn't want to take guns from you. But also know that driving an Indy car to work would be a lot faster than taking your four-door sedan, but we don't allow it for certain reasons. What are you willing to do? What are you willing to see happen? Or is this just the cost of a free society? Is this just the cost of your hobby? I collect Star Wars toys. You'll know what these toys don't result in? 59 people dying and hundreds being injured. Maybe a few being injured on those release nights, but now they're so mass produced you don't have to worry about it. You can get everything on the internet. What are you willing to give up? If nothing, then say so. 888-574-2723. I'm not suggesting anything. I want to know what you're coming to the table with. And if you say nothing, I'd like to hear it. Because when it comes to deaths, it took one act in Australia. I believe it was 29 people that caused them to enact the laws that they have. I might have the number wrong. It was in Port Arthur. 35 people. It was 23 wounded, 35 people dead. The Port Arthur Massacre. In 96, it resulted in legislation that saw a dramatic decline in gun crimes. It worked. Nobody is saying that gun owners are criminals. What we are saying is dangerous things have always been regulated, and that includes guns. What about 100 years from now, if this great nation hasn't run itself aground by then, and handguns have turned into, I don't know, mini rail guns or phasers or whatever sci-fi fantasy, a weapon that can basically evaporate a person in one shot, because, you know, that's what we'll work towards, our own destruction. That's what humanity does. Will you call for a ban on that? Or will the simple evaporation of an individual who slighted you in one way or another be the answer to your problems? Because the argument is always, that's how they wrote it. When out of one side of your mouth, some will say, this is a living document and it changes with the times. And others will say, well, this part can't change. This part can't be interpreted. We are talking about weapons capable of... And hold on to it, because I play this repeatedly to illustrate what people are faced with when they are trying to enjoy a concert. That is the sound of a war zone. And if me playing that offends you, good. It should. It should make you uncomfortable. It should make you question what's happening. But you'll probably get mad at me for playing it rather than going... Why is a weapon capable of this in the hands of an individual? And yes, if he modified it, how did he do so? How did he gain that knowledge? How did he gain what was required for it? How did it go under the radar this long? I'm not talking about taking your handgun or your hunting rifle or your shotgun. I'm talking about a sensible discussion on how to fix this, because it isn't getting better. And it sickens me the way this guy is illustrated. Oh, you know, a rich man with nothing bad, you know, ever in his life, rich white guy, he's got it good. Nobody's painting him as a thug, even though there's evidence of him being abusive towards his girlfriend at a Starbucks. Nobody's calling him a thug, but a teenage kid gets followed by someone, shot and killed, painted as a thug for wearing a hoodie. A teenage kid, a child, in a park with an airsoft gun, they dig up everything they can to make him appear to be a thug. The pass that this guy gets for being either male or white or rich or all of the above as a lone wolf. Stop it. Why hasn't he been called a thug or a criminal? Especially if he's been planning it this long. Decades stockpiling guns, apparently. Well, that's a decades-long criminal. If your intent at the end of all this is what he did, that's a criminal. Call him what he is. A piece of human garbage. Now, they're speculating that he had had help at some point, and that he had thought he might escape alive, according to the latest. Let's go to Mark in Windsor. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing all right. What's up?
I can't even imagine what... That was a terrible, terrible tragedy. A terrible, despicable thing this man did out in Las
Vegas. Let's not call
it
was. Let's say it is. Let's say it is, because it is still present.
Yeah, it's a terrorist. He's a terrorist. And he committed a terrorist attack, terrorizing all those people, and it was a terrorist attack. I can't fathom what type of law you could come up with that would stop someone from committing terror. The man broke a ton of laws. The terrorist, he broke a ton of laws. What new law are you going to come up with that would scare him if none of those laws that he broke if the this man committed the ultimate sin.
Well,
what do you think you can say to deter someone like that?
There's a multitude
and it's misleading and it's pandering for politicians to get in front of people and say we have to do something. We have to change laws. That's ridiculous.
How is it ridiculous? Let's say
what you need to do is we need to educate individuals. What we need is more emphasis on mental health. There's no law that you can pass to no gun law you can pass that will stop that. You have background checks.
Right. So here's the thing. You're not going to stop it. But what I am saying is there a way to minimize it? Let's say he couldn't get a hold of those types of firearms and modify them. Then what is he left with? A hunting rifle, a shotgun, a handgun with maybe a 12-round magazine?
He could go to something else. He could use propane tanks. He could use a big vehicle.
There's a ton of different ways.
If he's determined,
you have seen that happen.
This terrorist was a nut.
Hold on, but let's go to the propane tanks. What do you think the chances are of that guy getting to a propane tank at a venue like that? So what I'm doing is adding layers of difficulty. What I'm asking is what can be done to minimize the sheer body count. What can be done to minimize the sound of gunfire? Listen to that. Las Vegas police did not. That is not a pressure cooker exploding. That is a weapon that was modified easily.
You know,
we know people are going to do wrong.
Weapon, but the weapon didn't kill all those people. The man did.
Right, Mark. We know people are going to do bad things. So shouldn't we try to minimize their ability to do them?
You really think you want to live in a society where you are in individuals' homes and cars and in their minds?
I don't understand what you mean by that.
I don't understand what you mean by...
Okay, so if we're in their homes, is your home on a registry? Is your home on a registry? Is your home listed? Does everybody know everything about your home?
Yeah.
Does it have to meet certain safety standards or else the government will shut it down? Same for your car.
Mm-hmm.
So why not your guns?
Our guns are registered. If you have if you own a firearm, it's registered. But and that's the legally. If you are a legal, law-abiding citizen, and you own firearms, they're registered. Do you have a permit? Are you a pistol permit holder?
I do not carry. I do not own. I have fired. I enjoy it, but I have no reason to.
And you know what? That's your personal preference.
And I'm not saying I'm going to take away your guns. What I'm saying is, shouldn't we limit the ability of someone who's wanting to do damage like this from doing it? What is the
need? Here's my question. How do you know what someone wants? How do you know someone wants? You know, this man, he did, to most of society, he was an excellent citizen. The man was wealthy. He was self-sufficient. He was retired.
All right, so Mark, let me ask you, you're not willing to give up anything. Your supposed rights to bear arms in any shape and form trump people's life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
Correct. I'm not willing to give up anything.
Thank you for your call. 888-574-2723. I'm not willing to give up anything. After almost 60 people dead in Vegas, children killed here in our home state, you're not willing to give up anything. We'll be right back. And just so the last caller knows, Nevada does not require firearms owners to have licenses or register their weapons, nor does it limit the number of firearms one can possess. Automatic assault weapons and machine guns are also legal in the state as long as they are registered and possess in adherence with federal law. And they do not prohibit the transfer or possession of assault weapons, 50 caliber rifles, or large capacity ammunition magazines. And you're not willing to give anything up. Again, I'm not asking, in my perfect world, I wouldn't ask everyone to give up their guns. And it's never going to happen in a perfect world, as the NRA spent $4 million in 2016 on lobbying politicians. $4 million, as well as $50 million on advocacy and $30 million to elect Trump. Annual overall budget is $250 million. I am all for your ability to own a firearm. But what can we do? And we can get into the argument that the courts have gone over and over again, the idea of a well-regulated militia. You can look at other countries where they've done it, whether it's Australia or Switzerland. If you want to have a firearm like that, perhaps it stays somewhere. Perhaps it stays at the range, and you can peel off 50 caliber rounds as much as you want. You can go full auto at a range, except your ammo and your weapon stays there. And you can have your handgun, your shotgun, and your rifle for home. Let's go to Larry in Bridgeport. Good morning, Larry.
Hey, how are you, sir?
Doing all right. What's up?
Couple things. You know, I have a gun permit, and I got that permit because, to be honest with you, I thought I wasn't going to have the right to, you know, exercise the Second Amendment. But I don't own a gun. You know what I'm saying? I've had discussions with my wife and my family about owning a gun, and I don't own a gun, but I do have the permit, which I think is good for 4 or 5 years, and I have taken classes, okay, at a facility in Connecticut that's licensed and what have you. So I just figured I'd mention that right out of the gate.
Well, but before we go forward, Larry, I want to ask, what led you to believe that you would lose the right to own a firearm? And follow that, how do you feel now that it didn't happen?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I was from watching news and reading periodicals, and maybe some of it was fake news. I'm not saying that's not the case, but, you know, the talk was that if Hillary had won, that she was going to look at restricting the Second Amendment in some way. Okay, so that was one of the things. Plus, I have a couple of relatives who are responsible gun owners, and they just said, you know, you better go for your permit, because if you don't go for your permit, you may not be able to at some point in the future, because, you know, they did point out one thing on the subject. They said that the U.S. Senate had a vote in 2016 where the list of all American gun owners and the ability to exercise our Second Amendment, that was going to be turned over to the UN, and it was voted down by 3 votes in the Senate. I don't know if you know that. That's actually a true story. If you look that up on the internet.
Well, if it helps those of us who are left-leaning but understand the Constitution and understand people's rights, will be alongside you in defending your right to have a gun. The question is, what limitations are we willing to put on ourselves when it comes to the public arena? And I'm running out of time, so hold on. I'll take you on the other end of these. We'll come back.
Thanks.
On the other end of these commercials. What, if any, limitations? Earlier caller said none. There are limitations on what one can do with their home, with their car, with any number of things. And we do have limitations with guns, but are they enough? When is the body count high enough? We'll be right back on Ed Says. All right, let's go back to Larry in Bridgeport. Go ahead, Larry. Go ahead, Larry. You're on.
Okay, just a couple of comments if I can. First off, I watched a little bit of Nancy Pelosi last night on CNN, and I guess they had a town hall thing where she was talking about 72-hour background check. And I know the Republicans fight that, and the NRA fights it. Look, if we're going to be reasonable here and logical, I'm all for a 72-hour waiting period for a background check. Okay, so I just think that's important. And I think, you know, to do a background check in terms of someone's mental health, I have no problem with that. Okay, and you, Ed, I've spoken to you enough times on the air where you know I'm not left wing, I'm more center to right, but we all have to be reasonable and responsible. So a waiting period to own a gun and a full background check, I have no problem with that. I know a lot of people on the right fight that, but look, we have to be reasonable and logical here, especially with what just happened and what's been happening. The other thing is, this is my own personal opinion. There would be a lot of people who would disagree with me. I don't see where we need semi-automatic weapons in our society. That's just my opinion. I mean,
I feel the same.
I mean, that's my opinion. Now, to protect yourself and your family if you're living in a bad area, I get it. You know, you have a right to own a gun and bear arms. But to own a, Sig Sauer, you know, or some, like, derivative of AR-15, I just don't think it should be legal. That's just my opinion. Okay, I mean, I don't know if I'm making sense, but I'm trying to just be logical.
Well, that's the question I'm broaching. And, Larry, I appreciate the call, as always.
All right.
Take care. That's the question I'm asking. What can be done? What is logical? What is sensible? What are people willing to give? You say you're willing on that. I had a previous caller said they're willing to give nothing. My idea is to minimize potential damage. And people will use the example of, you know, if everybody has a musket, it's going to be harder to shoot people. And I get that argument. And I'm not asking for that. What I'm asking for is that weapons that are capable, maybe not out of the box, maybe not purchased, and I'm not talking about looks militaristic, but has the ability to act on that level, to act like this. Maybe we should talk about how we get rid of that, whether it is the weapon itself, whether it's the bump stocks, whether it's the magazines, you know, large capacity magazines. What is it? Or are we just going to go, well, this is what happens. I got an email from John who articulately said, Ed the dummy, you are a dummy. Maybe they should pass a law against socialists like you. Getting rid of guns is not going to prevent terrorist attacks. Leave the Second Amendment alone. Stop being so stupid. John, I thank you for taking the time to email, but please articulate yourself better next time. Nothing I'm saying is socialistic. First of all, I'm not taking away your guns. What I'm asking for is common sense solutions, which you've offered none. But thank you for wading into the discussion with your nonsense email. That doesn't help the discussion. No, I've stated specifically that I'm not looking to take away guns. I'm looking for answers. And if our answer is nothing can be done, this is what's going to happen. People keep saying, oh, you know, he could have shot a propane tank. He could have driven his car into this. Well, no, he couldn't, because there's typically pylons protecting people. People would have seen him walking around these canisters, propane canisters, in order to blow them up. He wouldn't have been able to be 30 plus stories up, raining down death the way he was. What he was doing was the most, and this is a callous word to use, efficient way to eliminate life. Let's go to Adam in West Hartford. Good morning, Adam.
Ed, I agree with a lot what you're saying. And, I wanted to digress to another area of the terrible monstrosity, the monster. Perhaps just a little more level-headed than savage. And something kind of said this, and I went to YouTube and checked. And some of the defense the brother had, I know the brother was dumbfounded and was trying to find answers himself, but the brother was not condemning enough. You know what? The brother was saying that somebody that doesn't respond to your hello for three times and looks away and lives with the shades down and gambles like crazy and wires that money. The brother, did you hear some of the brother's comments?
Yeah, I saw a lot of it. Adam, I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time hearing you. Thank you for the call. And the investigation will continue. Whether or not, I'm not going to speculate as to whether or not the brother knew, because speculation is all of the part of the problem. We've already got people calling this a false flag operation because the internet is where awful people go to spout their nonsense. If the brother had any involvement, we will know. Were there warning signs? There could have been. I'm going to wait for more information. Two things. As we talked about earlier, the fear of having your right to bear arms taken away. I ask, who will cause that? Will it be a politician? You know, Larry mentioned that he was worried Hillary would do it. So if Hillary did that, who would come get them? Local law enforcement? State? You don't think your state would defend your right, or your local law enforcement, or the military? Here's the thing. This is the weird position we find ourselves in. If you are someone who is worried you are going to lose your weapons, Who will they send to get them? Is it the military, whom I'm going to assume many of you take pride in and believe are the best in the world, and who some of you probably get upset about people kneeling during the anthem in defense of them? You think they'll just turn on you? You can't have this two-sided opinion of them. If you believe the military will stand for America, they would not let an unjust law pass. They would not enforce it. There are safeguards. There is no law coming to take your guns. Some might go away, as we've seen in the past. And I'm okay with that. Meanwhile, I saw a tweet. If every black male in the U.S. bought and registered a semi-automatic rifle tomorrow, Congress would pass gun control laws by Friday. Eric Benet tweeting that. And I don't necessarily disagree. And before you go, oh, Ed, that's silly. Remember, the Black Panthers were walking around in Oakland, and the Mulford Act was passed. It was a 1967 bill signed off by Ronald Reagan in order. Reagan himself saying, no reason why on the street today a citizen should be carrying loaded weapons, and that guns were a ridiculous way to solve problems that have been solved among people of goodwill. So, take that as you will. Let's go to Josh in Hartford. Good morning, Josh. Josh, you there?
Hello. Hey, how you doing?
Doing all right. What's up?
Hi. I completely agree with you and Larry. But I also have an input. They're like, we should, just with the gun situation, I feel there's no need for semi-automatic weapons at all. But unless you come into a scenario like Red Dawn or like some aliens come down from Earth or something where you need a semi-automatic weapon. But other than that, maybe we should like adopt something like from Switzerland. I know like they have their, we'll have like a, armory. So just in case a situation like Red Dawn happens where somebody comes to America or something like that where you need your semi-automatic weapons, where everybody needs to be armed, you go to your local armory and you pick up your semi-automatic weapon. That's also a way where you can keep our guns and not have them or have them in control. But at that, there's still no need for any of the semi-automatic weapons.
Well, Josh, and that's what I alluded to, the idea of, and that harkens back to the well-regulated militia, that the militia is regulated and that their weapons stay at the armory should the situation arise. That is where you go. I have, thank you for the call, Jim emails, as a former Marine and a guy that would like to shoot, though rarely, let's set up shooting ranges just like driving ranges for golf. Then we pick out our weapon, bucket of ammo, have fun, and lock up the weapon we used. I agree with that, and I agree. I'm fine with keeping handguns, shotguns, and rifles, single shot, not semi, not full. Because if the challenge of hunting with said rifle is getting the shot right on the animal, get it right. That's where you're supposed to improve. Shouldn't be able to peel off a whole bunch. Like, take your time. And I agree. I am for that. I don't want to take away your handgun. Because let's be honest, if you're talking about self-defense in your home, are you really going to pull out your AR-15 that perhaps you modified? I don't know. I think you're going to grab your handgun, shoot center mass, and, empty the handgun on them. John emails, usually I would say don't touch anything, but I think the bump stock is a way of getting around the machine gun restriction. I would support banning those stocks, but I don't trust Congress to keep the scope that narrow. And that's fair. That is very fair. But I do agree with you that there are always people looking to get around the rules. It's human nature. Let's go to Charles in Watertown. Good morning, Charles. Charles, are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, go right ahead.
NRA member, pistol permit holder. My thought was, how about a state-by-state referendum on repeal of the Second Amendment to get a sense of the country's feeling on this issue?
No, I mean, that's a big step. I think anybody, even, as I said, somebody who leans left on a lot of issues, if you heard me talk, I don't think repealing the Second Amendment is going to happen or should happen. I do think the concern was, and I think the reason the Second Amendment was set up was because we didn't have a standing army back then as well. I think people pick and choose too easily in these arguments, and they don't look at what was happening when these things were written. There was fear of a standing army back then. That is why this was written into it, in my opinion. But I don't think there's no way you would get people to repeal it. Do you agree, Charles, or do you think they would?
Well, I don't know if it would necessarily lead to repeal, but it would certainly give the country a sense of feeling on this Second Amendment and how the population feels about the right to keep and bear arms. By the way, I don't think semi-automatic weapons or pistols or single-shot rifles are going to do anything in terms of keeping the peace in the event we want to take on the government.
Yeah, I agree. That was the point I was trying to make. Like, and I appreciate the call, Charles. When I said that, you know, in one side of someone's mouth, they'll say my right to bear arms against a tyrannical government, and the other side, they'll say support our troops. You know, well, the implication is that someday that those troops will turn against you. And if you think that we would be able to stop the military should they want to, could we cause damage? Sure. But I don't think that's going to happen. Our government is set up in order to prevent that. Now, could it happen? Sure. Stranger things have happened. I would hate to see it. But again, that's what your militia is for. Now, would the government target those militias? Sure. But there'd be a lot going on. I don't think it'd be an overnight thing. And we've seen that people who are underarmed can always push back against those who are overarmed. We've seen it in multiple conflicts. So, you know, being outgunned doesn't always necessarily mean defeat. But I just ask, what can be done? And, I mean, that was a NRA member and permit holder saying perhaps we should gauge what the nation says. And I wonder, you know, if he's prepared for them to say, yeah, we're going to get rid of guns. And I don't think that will ever happen. It is so, not in my lifetime, it is so ingrained. And we've got a lot of growing to do as a nation. And I don't want to take away your guns. I've fired guns. I've gone to the range. I know how to handle one. I got certified. I don't want to own one. I have children in the house. I don't want to worry about them finding it or separating things, because then that kind of defeats the purpose. If I hear a sound and somebody's at my doorway and my weapon's next to me but my ammo's up in a lockbox, you know, it's no good to me. So it is complicated, and I don't think... Are there people out there who would want a total gun ban? Sure, there are. But I don't think it'll ever happen, and I don't think it ever should happen, not to maintain what we are. But certainly concessions can be made. 888-574-2723. What concessions are you willing to make? We'll be right back here on Ed Says. I always love feedback, particularly when it's sent to me, Ed Says at talkofconnecticut.com. On Twitter, Ed says CT. And you can always call 888-574-2723. But some people choose to send it to my bosses, which eventually gets to me so I can know what people are saying about me. How can WDRC allow such an ignorant, uneducated, American-hating racist on the airwaves? I did listen to Brad Dan for many years. However, once you allow an American-hating racist on your airwaves, I will never listen to WDRC again until this ignorant individual is gone. I'm paraphrasing. Again, lots of insults, no real stuff. Then when asked for clarification, your American-hating racist, Ed says, I bet he thinks the Vegas shooter had the right to protest the way he did. That's what this individual wrote. At no point did I say that, and at no point did I think that the shooter was protesting anything. That's his stupid-ass logic. Well, I didn't say that, so to imply that is your stupid-ass logic. Tell him the real heroes are the ones who ran into the gunfire. Nobody's arguing that that's not the case. But then he is too ignorant to understand that. You may be asking yourself why I take the time to write this. It's because I love my country and do not hate-spewing racists, like Ed says, that give ignorant acts, wait for it, folks, football protests, life in our society. So this individual says he loves his country and calls me a hate-spewing racist. because I support those who use their right to protest and a right given by the country this individual supposedly loves, but it doesn't apply to these athletes. Why is that? I don't know. I would encourage him to do a little more research on America and how great it is before he runs on about stupid overpaid athletes having a right to protest. Oh, so because they're overpaid in your eyes, they lose the right to protest. Is that it? Where were all the NFL players after the shooting? Oh, wait, did I see Kaepernick there? And then a thousand question marks. A way to mix your stories and your arguments into a mishmash of nonsense. But I thank you for listening, and I thank you for writing my bosses rather than me. But this is what I'm dealing with. Somehow I am an American-hating racist. No, I love my country, and I understand that we have the potential to be the best in the world. But we are lacking in many different ways. And one of them is the fundamental understanding that you have the right to protest. Hey, you know what, sir? I'm going to assume, sir. Let me get, yes, sir. You know what I'm doing right now? I'm kneeling. I am kneeling because I can. Now, the anthem isn't playing, and it might not have anything to do with anything, but I'm kneeling. And if it makes you upset, too bad. I'm acting within my rights. You're allowed to be upset. But you don't get to dictate to other Americans what America means or what might be wrong with it. You get your own little view. You get to stay inside your little bubble of thought. But I can't debate with this individual. I can't argue with this individual. I can't get through to them because they don't understand. Even though they claim to understand what America is, they obviously do not. Because when you say somebody doesn't get to protest for one reason or another, you've missed the point. You get to protest at any time, anywhere, any place. Now, could there be consequences? Sure. I believe Colin Kaepernick has faced them and owned them. The man is without a job when he clearly should be employed in the NFL. There's plenty of teams out there that need help. Let's go to Bob in Suffield. Good morning, Bob.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
I like to relate our morality with what happened in Vegas, San Bernardino, and all that, okay? And by the way, you had mentioned that my conclusion about the NFL, let's get on that case first, is that no one's saying they can't protest.
That's what this guy just said.
Right. Well, they have a right to protest. But.
There's no but.
I was in a war zone. I got shot at, okay, for this country and for you and for your kids to live. Because you can have that right to protest, okay? And millions of veterans, okay, all right, protest. But how you get back at them is you don't go to the football games.
If that's how you feel, that's how you feel. Don't take in the product. That's, nobody makes
exactly.
You.
So I agree with you 100%. You have a right to protest. So you know what you do? You don't go and you test these players. Good. Well, you hit them where it hurts. In the pocketbook.
Bob, I thank you for the call. It won't hurt them because there are plenty of people who will continue to take the product. I've said that about ticket prices before the protests even happened. We shouldn't be boycotting because of the protests. We should be boycotting because it's so expensive. Let's go to Tom in West Hartford. Good morning, Tom.
Yeah, I give you a lot of credit for being the shock jock that we need. You know, saying these provocative things that get everybody's blood boiling.
What's provocative?
And calling you up and
what's
going
provocative,
on and
Tom?
On. So
shock jocks
great.
Talk about strippers and boobs
no,
and
they
things
don't.
Like
no,
that.
No,
what,
come on. You know
what
that's
am I
true.
Saying, Tom, that's so
you're
provocative?
You're very provocative.
How so?
You say things that are provocative.
What did I say?
You get people riled
Tom,
up.
Tom, what did I
I'm
say?
I'm not saying that's bad.
Tom, but what did I say that's so provocative? I'm curious.
Come on.
Well, no, give me an example. What caught your ear?
I mean, you know, you
Tom, you're casting.
People who vote for Trump are morons, and you said millions of things like that. Look, you're entitled to your opinion.
I am
God
entitled
knows.
To my opinion.
God knows. But I'm commending you. I mean, you got people's blood boiling. That's good.
So what's boiling? Why is it boiling? Because I'm asking people to question their motivations, and because I said that if you voted for Trump, you were willing to overlook decades of criminal behavior and bad behavior and sexual assault to vote
well,
for a man because he wants to get rid of brown
when
people?
When you say things like that...
I mean, it's documented.
Like
Tom, I'm not making it up. I'm not saying it to be provocative.
Don't be so defensive. When you say
you're
things
using
like
the word
that,
provocative,
there are people who are going to take umbrage... and call you and
good.
Say you're this and you're that.
It's tough to have your thoughts challenged.
It's something that's great. I mean, you got people's blood going and you got people...
I don't want their blood going.
That's okay.
Well, thank you, Tom. I appreciate the call.
That's all I wanted to tell you. Thank you.
I don't mean to be provocative. I want people to get on the air and talk about their positions. We knew who Trump was going in. And even if you didn't like Hillary and you were worried she was going to take your guns and all these other things, there was nowhere near. Listen to the Stern tapes where he tells a story about an old man falling and bleeding on the floor and how he describes how he wouldn't touch him, how he wouldn't get involved, how it ruined the floor. Talk about the way he talked about his own daughter. Back to guns real quick. 78% of American adults do not own any guns. 19% own 50% of the guns. And 3% of American adults own the other 50%. 78% of American adults don't own any guns. And I'm one of them, but I'm for your right to own them. Let's go to Betty. Good morning, Betty. Yes.
Hello. I just want to let you know that there's nothing wrong with your show. You're doing an excellent job. There are many of us who love you and want to continue to hear you in the morning. If people have an issue of you expressing your opinion, which we absolutely love, then they can turn their station and listen to Jim Vaisevich. Bottom line.
Well, I wouldn't recommend that, but yes, that is the
thing. Well, I'm not recommending it, but I'm just saying, don't call in getting mad at you because you expressing your opinion. There's a lot of us who share your opinion.
Well, Betty, thank you for the call and the support. The thing is that, yes, people for whatever reason think they have ownership of the NFL. If they don't like what they're seeing, if somebody protesting turns them off that much, stop watching. There's a bar in my town who stopped showing the games. Good. We'll see how that does for your business. Because, again, I bet the statistics when it comes to those protests match these gun ownership statistics. 78% of American adults do not own a gun. Meanwhile, Russian ads reached 10 million people on Facebook, and they were targeted people in order to get the message across. But there was nothing there. I didn't even get to touch on that, or the corruption that just fills the family that lives in the White House, the fact that the nepotism exists and nobody raises an eyebrow, the fact that we're arguing with each other most of the time rather than looking at those who would do us harm. And that is the upper echelon of society, the rich, the wealthy, the powerful. Meanwhile, we argue about the NFL. I'll be back tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.